The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, let's get this week off to a fast start. There's no shortage of sports and stuff. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master. You want to get in today? 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow, with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Let's have some fun today. I'm going to fantastic freaking movie.
Are you?
Let's rock this puppy.
Okay.
How was your weekend?
It's good. It's over, though.
Yeah, that
it's
always
Monday,
sucks.
So, I mean, you're in, like, a great mood. I never get that way on Mondays.
I usually don't, but I've been working all day on expanding the Fowler Empire and working on all kinds of cool stuff that I'm just very excited about.
Well, good for you.
Will be happening soon.
I've been putting in work on getting my, I've got to get a bunch of medical tests done before the fight.
You have to do that eye thing again?
You have to do the eye thing, so I'll be blind for a day, and there's a bunch of stuff that you got to do that sucks. But then when you're over 35, you have to do an EKG and an EEG, and I've never had to do that before, so got to do that. Most of that stuff is going to be done tomorrow, and also putting together my T-shirts, so...
Cool.
That's what my day's been filled with.
Very much looking forward to. Now, I've kind of hinted at it, but we're launching a new website next week where all the stuff that I used to write about the Texans and things like that are going to be, and it's going to be very cool. And just got a lot done on it today. The plan is to have it up by next Thursday. So
nice.
We shall see. But I'm also, when that happens, I'm also going to do a Hoffman-like purge on Facebook. So those of you who are Facebook friends because of the show and I don't know you, be forewarned, that's about to happen. I'm about to join the 21st century.
All right.
So, anyway, did you? Well, I want to talk about the fight. We did the weird
fight.
I want to start with that, but I Saturday night we did this thing. Went to the Maple Leaf. They had the farewell concert for the Tragically Hip. I don't know how familiar you are with them. I didn't know much about them, but apparently they're huge in Canada. And dude's dying of cancer, so they did one last tour and they did the show, and apparently they showed it across the entire country, and so they had it on it, and the place was freaking packed, and people were going nuts and singing along with every song. I'm kind of like, how do I not know these guys? And they're pretty good. I just didn't know them, but it was very weird.
Where were you at?
At Maple Leaf Pub.
Oh, okay.
It was filled with Canadians because they were showing the stream of it. I think it was the only place that did that. But the weird part was, remember David Bowie's last video?
Yeah.
Where it was just kind of creepy. This was like 2.5 hours of that. It was very cool that they were doing the last show, but you're watching him going, man, this guy's going to be dead in 6 months. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
And then after that, went and watched the fight and probably had too much to drink. But that, if you're one of those people who were on the fence about buying that fight, you should have bought the fight.
Yeah. It was a, I think it was a good fight. It was one of those fights where, you know, for me personally, A, had a financial interest in who won, and B,
I did, and it didn't go well.
I wanted the guy to win. I wanted Diaz to win. So it was, I wanted him to win because I wanted to win money, but I also wanted him to win as a fight fan. And as I watched the fight, I thought it was a really close fight. I thought that there were a couple rounds that could have gone either way in the judging, but if I were a judge and I sat down and scored it, it would have been 3-2 for McGregor. So
I'm glad you said that because I was also significantly invested in Diaz, and I felt the exact same way. Usually you're going to let that color it, but I just thought, man, this is close, but I thought that's how I would have scored it too.
The two rounds that were, in my opinion, sort of swing rounds. The second round, which the first round, McGregor dominated. He was a clear winner in the first round. The second round was much of the same until the end, and Diaz started to come on at the end.
Came on very strong. Yeah.
But I don't think it was enough to win the round. So I had it 2-0 for McGregor, although that second round, like I said, was so close that I wouldn't have argued either way. The third round was a clear Diaz round. That's the round where it looked like Conor was just completely drained. And the fourth round was the other swing round to me. It was McGregor came out strong, especially relative to what he was doing in the third round. He did a lot of, that's where he did a lot of the punch a couple times and then run. But at the end of the round, I was watching it and I said, I think that is a McGregor round. And then round five I had for Diaz. And then when I looked back at it, or when I looked in and saw the scorecards that the judges put out, that's exactly what they had. At least two of the three, and the one judge that scored it a draw had it the third round being a 10-8 round for Diaz. And I don't think there was a 10-8 round in that fight, but it was. The first, second, and fourth were McGregor rounds to me, and kudos to him for digging deep, because it looked like he was done, and he found a way. And you know, Diaz, he's one of these guys who sometimes doesn't adjust. And when he finally made the adjustment in the third round to get into boxing range instead of kickboxing range, where he was getting his leg chewed up, when he took away that leg kick and got in tight and was willing to just box with him, he had a lot of success with it. And that also sets up takedowns. And he had a couple takedown attempts, but not much. And I know he's got better wrestling than Conor. But he's just, these Diaz brothers get to that point where they don't really attempt very many takedowns. They use their jiu-jitsu when they get taken down or when they get knocked down. They mostly just want to bang. So I think that he failed to make adjustments when the fight wasn't going his way, and Conor fought the better fight.
I tell you, though, I thought it was kind of going to go like the last one did in that first round, because Conor, I mean, he landed a big shot on him, and that's the kind of shot that knocks a guy out at 155.
Yeah.
And Diaz staggered him, but it didn't knock him out. And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go again. And I was feeling pretty good about it then. But, I enjoyed watching the fight, even though, like I said, I was with you. I had a bad betting day Saturday, because I also tried to beat the favorites in the damn Pacific Classic, and they just
didn't happen. They
ran 1-2-3 because jockeys are idiots. And they just let California Chrome walk around the track in first, and the other two horses, oh, we're just going to lay back and run second and third, not even try. Well done. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
whatever. I took a beating on the weekend. That's all right, though. I'll be back.
Yeah, I didn't do great on the card either. So,
what'd you think of the other fights?
I kept saying Rumble Johnson was going to win. Rumble Johnson was going to win. There was no value in him. And then the number went up like 30 points on Teixeira as the night went on, and like in the last hour before the fight, it jumped 30 more points, and I was like, oh, I got to do this. So I bet on Glover Teixeira, and that ended quickly. So he was not a winner. And then I bet against McGregor's boy Artem Lobov, who I thought is one of the worst fighters on the UFC roster, and I honestly thought maybe the worst fighter on the UFC roster, but Chris Avila sucked. I mean, he was even worse than Lobov. I mean, he never looked like he was willing to get into it. He just looked awful. So, you know, Lobov is McGregor's buddy, who's only in the UFC because he's McGregor's buddy. It's pretty clear that Chris Avila was only in the UFC because he's Nate Diaz's buddy, but he was terrible in that fight.
713-780-ESPN is your number. John, I'm getting a lot of texts wanting to know about the guys on before us. That was just a one-time deal?
Yeah. Travis, we got Travis in today with Barry's on vacation. So we had him in on today and wanted to keep around for a couple more hours and just reach out to Joel Blank to see if he wanted to do 2 hours with Travis. And
so Travis did Barry Warner's show too?
Yes, he did.
How'd that go? Did he go with the mighty one?
Yes, he did.
What did they think of each other?
I don't know. I didn't get to talk to Travis about Dylan today. Oh. But
well, what were you waiting on?
I had meetings and stuff, man.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's a busy man.
All right.
Well, okay, so there you go. That's people were asking. We were delivering. Also, Rock the Mic is Friday, the finals. And, John, you still have two to pick, right?
No.
No, the finals are done.
We had to pick them right on Friday. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just kind of let that discretion up to Michelle because they had to get to Houston game day, and they had to be notified by Friday night.
Ah. Well, I listened to some of the game day folks. One tip for you guys. When you're doing this, drop the wee crap. Yeah. It's one thing when you're a fan of a team. That's great, but you're trying to get yourself a radio gig, so don't say wee. That's just not everybody cares about that. I will tell you that the three of us do, and it will hurt you in the voting.
Yeah.
So you know that going in. All you have to do is get rid of it. Very simple. We got a lot to get to today, man. We had a preseason football.
Yeah, man, that's a there's some things to feel good about when you watch that Texans game, and there's some things that you just can't feel good about after watching that game.
I agree 100%.
But that said,
it'll be interesting to see if we have the same things that you don't feel good about.
Okay. That said, you feel a lot better if you're a Texans fan than you do if you're a Saints fan. That team is so awful. I mean, yeah, I really think that team is picking in the top 10 next year.
I may be starting to come around on that. Not that I worry too much about preseason.
Right, but I mean.
But I don't like the way Drew Brees looks. I really don't.
No, their offensive line is garbage. Their receivers can't catch the ball.
Well, and they left those guys out there for a significant amount of playing time, too.
We saw a good run of what the first team is for both these teams, really. And I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. New Orleans defense actually looked pretty decent for most of the game. Which is weird. Their offense was horrible, horrible. So we'll get into that a little bit more, I guess.
And there was a Jadeveon Clowney sighting.
Boy,
so
it was a shining star in that game. All right, I got to tell you guys about Man's Best Friend. The professional difference in dog training. Man's Best Friend. What they're trying to do is teach you and your pet to be a team, and they don't want your dog to have to guess what you want. Teach him so he'll know what you want. Training is what makes your dog a responsible family member. It's the best thing you can do for your dog, really. Man's Best Friend, this is the place to take him to do it. They're open 7 days a week. They've got a great air-conditioned facility, and now that school's back in session, you've got more time. Spend it wisely training that new or old pet. They board, they train, they groom, they do it all. And they treat your dog like a family member. And if you don't want to leave your dog there for the training, you just want to do private lessons, they have that available as well. But they do free evaluation. They've got custom programs they can set up for you. Help your dog to please you. That's what the dogs want to do. They want to make their owners happy. And you've got to show them the right way. Man's Best Friend can do just that. Give them a call, 713-932-6709. Or stop by their facility, 2331 Bingle Road in Houston. You can check them out online at mansbestfriend.com. The best news, our listeners get 20% off just by mentioning ESPN975.com or just ESPN975. You don't have to mention .com. Once again, 713-932-6709 or mansbestfriend.com. And our listeners get that 20% off just by mentioning ESPN975. It's mansbestfriend.com, Man's Best Friend.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. John, how was your weekend, man? Did you have a good one? You seem a little stressed today.
No. I mean, I've been on the board since 12. Like,
what's
straight.
Going on with that? Where's Dell?
Oh, he's on vacation. He comes back tomorrow.
Oh, so did they call it the show with John?
Producers get vacation around here?
Yeah.
Are they crazy?
No, no. I did the noon shift, so starting out on unfiltered.
Ah, so you were unfiltered.
Yeah, Chris Taylor was extended until 12.
Okay.
Jeez.
Somebody asked, do you guys agree with crazy-ass Dylan the Mighty Gwynn? Well, first off, you're asking that. The answer is probably no, but the rest of it says in that
Mighty Gwynn.
Savage is better than Osweiler.
No.
Did he really say that, Jung?
Yes, he believes that.
A lot of people thought that after the first preseason
game. Yeah, how's
game,
he feel after Saturday night?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. I don't really care what he thinks. But
I don't either.
It doesn't matter anyway because Osweiler's the starter. He's better than Tom Savage. But it's a I think Savage is going to be a solid backup, which is what I've said for a long time. So we've seen some good out of him. We've seen some not so good out of him.
Yes.
Including the backwards pass last night that really should have cost the Texans that game.
Yep.
If the Saints weren't inept, they would have taken advantage and probably won that game.
I thought overall, we mentioned Clowney in the first segment. I thought he looked impressive in his short time out there, which is good. Although, well, he didn't get right up after that sack. Did you start thinking,
yeah,
he's already dead? So I thought that was a positive. I'll throw that out there as a positive. I thought Osweiler looked better in terms of his grasp of the offense and some of the throws he made. Still missing too many for my taste, but I thought he was more effective, although it's a Saints defense. You should be.
Yeah.
And I thought the touchdown pass to Fuller was a beautiful throw. And
that was a really nice throw.
And so he wasn't garbage. The interception in the end zone, I don't even mind because they're going for it on fourth down anyway. You got to try to make a play there. So I don't even mind the forced ball because if it's fourth down, if the dude catches it, he catches it.
But he still had time in the pocket. Like, he didn't have to make that throw.
I think that sure looked like he had this play call on for Hopkins, and that he didn't recognize it wasn't going to work.
Was that Hopkins or Fuller?
I guess it was Fuller. Yeah, Well, I don't know why you throw that play to him, but okay.
Yeah, Fuller unlikely to be a big red zone target, I would think, but that's just me.
He looked okay.
He had a drop. And then the interception, which was not all his fault. In fact, probably more Osweiler's fault than his. He did face mask and add a couple yards onto that thing, which is probably not the right move. But, I mean, you're trying to break up a play. I get it. He looked good. Braxton Miller looked good. A lot of the young guys looked good. So there was a lot of positive to take out of this thing. But also, the Saints failed to do was capitalize on the mistakes the Texans made. And it's obviously it's preseason. Everybody's making mistakes. But, I mean, the Saints on third down when they got the ball at the 4-yard line and they toss it up and that big tight – that tight end who's not going to make the team now just drops the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – he's walking in for a touchdown, just drops it. And then there's a breakaway, what should have been a pick six, and that gets dropped as well. And I mean, the Texans made some bonehead plays, and the Saints just weren't good enough to capitalize on it. The biggest positive, I think, is what we saw from Jadeveon Clowney, and really what we saw from the defense in general. And
I like Christian Covington. I think it looks like he's really had a strong offseason. He's going to be much better this year. I liked him last year. And I think if that's your guy opposite of J.J. Watt, when it's all said and done, I'm pretty happy with that.
Getting good play out of that front seven while they are missing J.J. is very promising. Because obviously whatever's happening now is going to look a lot better when J.J. gets involved in that.
Yep.
And for them to even be not just, you know, hanging in there while he's gone, but to actually look pretty solid – That's a really good sign, I think.
I'll throw one more name out there that impressed me with some of the things he did, which I think is important because but DJ Reader, I think he did a good job of disrupting in the middle of that line when he was in there too. So defensively, very good night for them. And I don't know whether it was simply because, especially when Breeze was out there, he doesn't look like Drew Brees right now, and I'm not going to panic yet because it's preseason, but most of last season, he didn't look like Drew Brees. That interception he threw to Joseph, I mean, maybe the receiver just completely ran a wrong route or something, yeah. But he wasn't near a receiver on that. It was just, here you go, take it. Negatives.
The offensive line is still a mess, and obviously they don't have all the pieces, but I'm growing more and more concerned every day about this offensive line. And now, like, the Nick Martin, the injury, which now may require surgery, these are things that, and obviously having Dwayne Brown and Derek Newton out, these are things that the Texans can't afford. They are so thin on that offensive line. And specifically, I mean, if you'd asked me who are the guys on that line that you feel best about, it's probably Dwayne Brown, Derek Newton, and Nick Martin, the guys that are out. And I think Suofilo is the only projected starter that was playing last night, right?
Yeah, Greg Mann started at center.
Yeah, I mean, they are in this. What you saw last night is not it's not a starting NFL offensive line. I mean, if they throw that out there on a Sunday, a game day Sunday, those guys get their heads eaten. And obviously, it's important to have depth, but these guys are just not guys that you can trust to put out there. And I know it's not time to panic yet. Dwayne is supposedly going to be back. You know, Derek Newton supposedly going to be back. Who knows with Nick Martin how long he's going to be out. But they're going to try to spin it in a positive light, obviously. But I think we're really seeing that this is not a good offensive line as far as once you get past the five guys that they throw, and I don't even think all five of them are worth a damn, but once you get past the starting five, I think they're going to have some real troubles. And you saw that last, I mean, Nick Fairley getting in on Osweiler. Yeah, Greg Mantz just got he just got chewed up on that. Yeah. And those are things you can't let happen in the regular season because, you know, you made a $17 million a year investment in this guy. You got to keep him upright. And that's why I didn't really understand the Fuller and Braxton Miller picks, which seemed to me like luxury picks when they clearly had some offensive line issues they needed to work on. But, I mean, it's too late for that now, and that's something that they're going to have to work through and really hope that those guys come back healthy.
Well, I'm not going to panic too much yet simply because really none of those guys should be out there. If they wind up being out there, yeah, it's a problem. Then you've had injuries across the board. And you didn't mention Jeff Allen as a guy who,
you know, yeah,
that's if he's out there, Brown's out there, Newton's out there. I mean, that's you at least have the makings of a decent enough line. And right now, those guys aren't there. I'm assuming they'll be back. If not, yeah, it's an issue. I think especially in the middle there, they seem pretty thin. I can live with Chris Clark. I can't really live with Greg Mantz.
Right. Well, Chris Clark's supposed to be your swing tackle. You know, it's just not ideal to have him.
Right. He's supposed to fill in when somebody gets hurt, basically.
But I mean, it's not ideal to start the season like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't want him starting the season. But if he winds up having to do it, okay, you can live with a few games of that. But if he winds up having to be your starter for 16 games because of injuries, that's another issue. And I'm not too worried about that yet. But I did not like the way a lot of those guys play. I'll give you one more slight positive. And I never thought I would say this. CJ Fedorowicz actually blocked well.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right.
He blocked well. Isn't that what he's supposed to do?
I mean, that's kind of his job.
Theoretically, that's what they brought him in for,
yeah.
Right? Okay. I want to say for one game, I'm going to give him a positive grade on blocking.
Well, good for him. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about – are you saying you feel good about him now?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Oh, okay.
He still can't catch the
you're
ball.
You're not Team CJ then.
I'm just taking away my comment that he's a worthless bag of human flesh.
Okay.
But he's Gronk Jr.
Stop.
All right, guys.
Stop that, Vander.
I'm going to tell you about Window World of Houston. Not only are these guys providing premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but their energy-saving windows are made – right here in the good old U.S. of A., and they carry the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. They've become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty which includes glass breakage and is transferable, by the way, a higher quality product and a low price. It starts at just $189, meets Texas energy regulations. What's the first step to reducing your energy bills? Calling Window World of Houston to schedule your free written estimate with absolutely no hassle, no high pressure. It's a free estimate, folks. You've got nothing to lose. These guys are going to come out. If they do install, it takes less than a day on average. There's too many reasons to get these windows and not enough reasons to say no. Call 713-439-1172 or go to windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. The doors and siding are also available. It's Window World Houston. Window World, simply the best for less.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Nick says, listening to The Blitz, getting interrupted by a berry spot is like making out with a chicken and seeing her boner.
I've never done that, but it does sound like it would be awful.
Yeah, Thoughts and prayers for that.
Nothing we could do, though.
Hey, I know I'm about a year behind on this, but okay. I finally saw Straight Outta Compton this weekend.
Yeah?
That's a damn good movie.
Yeah, it's
and
good,
I'm
man.
I'm a little bit, I'm really irritated now that I didn't watch it last year so that I could bitch a lot more when the Academy Award nominations came out and freaking Mad Max got one and that one didn't.
Yeah.
And not that I mean, I liked Mad Max. Don't get me wrong. It was okay. But I just thought that was a really well-done movie.
It was good.
And I enjoyed it. And I learned a lot about, you know, the whole group because I only kind of knew those guys from what they've done since.
Yeah.
So I thought it was I thought it was fantastic. It was well
So you only knew Ice Cube from his, what's that movie called where he drives around his family?
Boys in the Hood.
No. That's damn it. Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Are we there? Is that it?
No, I only knew him. I knew him from Boys in the Hood first.
Oh, okay.
So.
There was also Ride Along with Ice Cube and
Kevin Hart.
Yep. There's the Ride Along 2. I think there's a Are You There? Are We There Yet 2.
Yeah.
Barbershop 1, 2, and 3. A lot of bad stuff from Ice Cube over the last couple of years.
Well, hey, he's making that dough. We can't hate. He doesn't rap anymore even, huh?
I don't think so. He retired a while ago.
He should go back to that. He should do an album.
Did you watch The Night Of last night?
I did.
I will say this is the first episode that I've watched that I didn't think dragged.
What are you into? The courtroom stuff? That's what you like?
I just think this was more balanced. It was really well done. And I saw you tweet this out. I don't see how they could wrap the whole thing up in one episode. My only concern is that this is going to be like True Detective season one, where we see all these possible red herrings out there,
and we're not going to get any.
And we're not going to get one because I don't know how you wrap that up either. We still don't have a. Well, we have a viable. There's lots of viable options to me. There's lots of reasonable doubt there that they've created.
Oh yeah,
and you know, so we'll see. It would. I think the perfect ending would be he gets acquitted and then admits to the lawyer chick that he did it.
Oh,
that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be pretty crazy.
But yeah, this was the first one because it's easy for me to get distracted during that show. Like I'll get up and go get a beer or something like that, and not really pay attention. You know, I won't pause it. This is the first one where I actually did that, where I paused when I went up to get my beer.
Okay.
So that's a step in the right direction.
Good for you.
Unfortunately, there's only one left. 281, there's a rumor for a trade between Cowboys and Texans. Ronald Leary for Clowney. Is this realistic? No, not even close. And whatever website you got that from, never go to again. So.
Some strange stuff.
Yeah. Some of the things that get made up out there just crazy.
No, I don't get it.
Just crazy. But oh well. So yeah, that's I feel better about this show now. I feel like I still don't think it's fantastic. The ending's going to have a lot to do with it. I think it's pretty good. But yeah. Mott said, should shorts be a little afraid?
Maybe so. I mean, I think he's got a roster spot. I would assume they want at least.
I mean,
he's easily the most tenured or most experienced guy in that group.
But he kind of if Braxton Miller turns out to be a player, isn't he
is he useful?
Yeah,
I don't know.
As you look at it, obviously Hopkins is going to make the team. I think we can safely say that Will Fuller's going to make the team. Miller's going to make the team. I think Jalen Strong makes the team. There's four receivers right there.
Yeah.
So I think Shorts is the other guy, but Keith Mumphrey's getting a lot of time. They like this Josh Lentz guy. I don't know that I'd be worried yet because I know they know what he can do. So he's probably not seeing a lot of time. And maybe they just want to see what Braxton Miller and those guys can do in a game situation.
I mean,
but that's going to be a tight battle for those last couple spots.
And if you'd asked me before the preseason, I would have said they're probably taking five receivers, and it's probably Hopkins, Short, Strong, Fuller, and Miller.
Yeah, and Mumphrey would be odd man out.
Right. But there's no guarantees. And when you look at what they've got invested in those five guys, the easiest guy to cut bait on would be Cecil Shorts. And I'm not saying he's the right guy to cut bait on, but everybody else is a top three, one of their first, second, third round picks, and they've all been on the roster for 3 years or less. You can't, I mean, you look bad cutting those guys. So,
yeah, although they've kind of proven that they don't care if the guy sucks, they don't care where they drafted him. We've seen
That, and if you ask me who's in the second most trouble on that group, it's Jalen Strong. Because he's had time and hasn't done anything with it. There's no way they're not taking Fuller or Braxton Miller. I mean, those are guys that they invested in this year. They want to see what they can do. But I still think at the end of the day it's going to be those five. But I think right now Cecil Shorts is on the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah,
You know, he's the guy who's, like, instructing these guys pre-snap. He's helping the young guys. And I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins is ready to take on that veteran role. I mean, he's clearly the best receiver they got. But I don't know if he's ready to be the veteran role in the receiver's room on film day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think Cecil Shorts is that guy. And I think Bill O'Brien values that type of a player. You know, over a guy like Lentz or whoever else, Mumphrey even.
And Shorts can still play.
And
he's always been a pretty good player who's had injury problems. And last year he was a pretty good player for him when he was healthy. And this might play itself out because I'd be shocked if every single one of these guys gets to the end of preseason without somebody getting hurt.
Right.
And that's the other factor. At least you've got some depth there. That's a position where they did a good job of addressing it. But I still wouldn't be shocked if it's Strong, Hopkins, and Shorts to open the season when the real playing starts. And I just Fuller, you know, he's looked okay, but I still wonder when he starts getting out there in a real game with real number one corners on him with coverages designed to stop him. I wonder what he'll do. Jared says it feels a lot like True Detective. I notice that Baller starts at 9:45, so the finale of Night Of looks to be an hour and 45 minutes.
It's an hour 35, I believe. Okay. It's 95 minutes.
Cool. Well,
they've got some time. I mean, they've got basically the time of a movie to finish it off, but it just still seems like there's a lot left to do, you know?
Yeah. You've got the storyline of whatever the hell's going on with the dad.
Yeah.
You've got, okay, they've totally dropped the thing. It came up in the court case, but the other guy at the scene.
Yeah.
They haven't followed up on
the guy
that.
Who ran?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was one other theory they had out there, too.
The limo driver.
Yeah, the limo driver. So all three of those. So Robert says, over-under for A&M UT wins is now 8. Who do you feel better about going over? I don't like either one of the overs on that because I think 8 is the number.
For Texas and A&M?
Yeah, I think that's the high end. So if that really is the over-under, I'd probably bet under on both.
Because
I think the worst I'm going to do is push.
I honestly feel like Texas has a better chance of making 8. And it's not to say that Texas is a better team than A&M, because I think if they played head-to-head, A&M would probably win. But it's just a matter of schedule. When you look at, you know, playing through the Big 12 and playing through the SEC West, is just a, it's different animals. And I think I see an easier way for Texas to get eight than I do for Texas A&M.
And I think, and I like Texas. I could see them winning nine even this year. I think they're going to be better than people think, but I damn sure wouldn't bet that they do.
No.
And especially, I could also see things going really, really south in a hurry. But if those numbers are really eight, I don't think there's any value there at all. I wouldn't touch any of it unless maybe the under. I think A&M, I feel like A&M's going to win eight games. And I could see where they might do less than that. So that being the case, I'd go under. But I liked it better when it was 6.5.
Yeah.
I was on the over there.
So now it seemed impossible to bet the over.
Yeah.
Either of those teams, really.
Yeah, that obviously people started pounding on those while they were at value, and now they're not.
Yeah,
so
there's nothing there.
All right, so we have an idiot kicker update for you when we come back.
I can't wait for that. I love those.
I know you love idiot kickers.
All right, I got to tell you about attorney Gary Trichter, law enforcement is stepping up their efforts. They want to take you to jail, and they're going to give you these blood tests. They're going to give you the breath tests that are designed to make you fail. And if your weekend sucked because of a DWI, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed the breath or blood test that the police gave you, that they may have even forced you on. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. The police breath test machines aren't warranted fit for breath testing. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results and then destroy the evidence that it checked, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Juries are going to notice the problems with that machine. Same with the blood test. They're not testing your actual blood like a medical doctor would do. They're testing the air above the blood. It's not the same as medical blood testing. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. And that's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist right here in Houston, experienced in telling the truth about police blood tests. He's one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the entire state. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010. Or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. Light the fire in the dark. When you sound the alarm,
we'll find each other's arms. ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 Crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Fun Day with The HD show. A couple things from Twitter that I wanted to get to. John S. says, the Cowboys finally found their guy to take the mantle when Romo retires.
Based on two games? Two preseason games?
Yeah, Twitter was exploding over Dak Prescott. He looks good.
He does look good. I mean, it's better than him looking like trash through two preseason games.
Exactly. And I like the kid. I still think he's a couple years away. But if he winds up being the backup, hopefully he'll be ready in the regular season. The bottom line is hopefully you don't need him.
Right. That's the goal.
You want Tony Romo healthy. If Tony Romo's healthy, then he's fine as your backup. He could sit there and learn.
You probably feel better having him as your backup based on what you've seen so far than what they've been having as their backup.
I would agree with that. And then Javi said, didn't Shorts just take a pay cut? Don't think they would cut him after that. It's a pretty cruel nasty business, man. Yeah, that won't have anything to do with it. If they think somebody else is better, they'll whack him. That's just kind of the harsh reality. All right. I promised you an idiot kicker update.
All right.
Sarcasm alert. I know you're the kind of guy who would love to trade up in the second round and take a guy, which the Buccaneers did to take Robert Aguayo.
Yeah.
Well, he's not off to the best of starts. Now, preseason kicking, you ought to be okay. That's the one thing where you ought to make your field goals.
You can lose your job in a hurry in the preseason.
Probably not if you're a second-round pick that you traded
up for.
Probably
not, but in most cases, you can pretty easily.
Well, he is he missed two field goals, and now he is getting outside psychological help.
Oh, boy.
To help with his kicking. He says he admits his confidence has been shaken a little bit, and he's reached out to a mental coach, which, okay, therapist, you can say therapist. It's okay. Nothing embarrassing about that. I don't know why you need to call it a mental coach, but all right. Says, I'm just focusing on relaxing and sometimes not thinking about it too much. When you're overthinking, like, okay, I have to do this and this and this, you get too many thoughts in your head. Are you a little bit concerned about moving up in the second round to draft a guy who already needs a mental coach?
First of all, don't ever move up in the second round to draft a kicker. I mean, that's rule number one right there. This is a guy who missed 9 kicks in his entire career at Florida State. The guy was a pretty good kicker, and his senior year was by far his worst year. He missed 5 in his senior year. It's going to happen. I mean, every level is a step up, and you're going to go through growing pains. But I don't know that you. I mean, I guess if that's what you feel is going to work for you, getting a shrink or whatever, cool. And I'm not going to fault anybody for trying to go through therapy and make themselves better. I believe that that's something you should do.
Absolutely.
But I mean, after 2 games, you're already, you know, like, it's a mental thing. It's not great.
That would concern me just a little bit.
Yeah.
So Michael says, as a Bucks fan, yes, but I already had a good kicker in Connor Barth. And Rob brings up a great point. All kickers are head cases.
That's true.
Yeah. And goes with the territory, right?
Yeah. There's only one good kicker, Justin Tucker.
I'll take C-Bass, too.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
When he's sober, he's good.
But I like him better drunk.
But he's on the way out.
He is getting up there.
We're running out of time with him. He was a great.
Yeah. One of these days, I want to see him bang one from 80, which I guess Tucker's been hitting him from 76 in practice. Ugh. I'd love to see that in a game right before the half.
Ugh.
Just let him go out there and try to fire one out from 76 yards. It'd be pretty cool. 713-780-ESPN, if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. We did talk a lot about Conor McGregor in the first segment, but I wanted to ask this and didn't really get around to it. What do you think is next for him?
For Conor?
Yeah.
The obvious thing would be a third fight between those two, but I think Dana wants – he's, if that's going to happen, Conor is going to have to give up his 145-pound belt. You know, they had an interim title match where Jose Aldo looked just fantastic against Frankie Edgar, who most people thought that there was no question those were the two best guys outside of Conor in that division, and that was the fight to make. And Jose just dominated him. Jose's waiting for that rematch. And honestly, I think he deserves it. It's not going to be as big of a money fight for Conor as Diaz is. There won't be the same pay-per-view numbers. For whatever reason, you know, Jose Aldo is a better fighter over the course of his career than Nate Diaz is.
Diaz is pretty good at getting the casual
fan
to watch. He's a showman as much as Conor is in a lot of ways, and I think that's what makes people interested.
I think that's what Dana wants him to do. But at the same time, I say that Dana, when he sees these final pay-per-view numbers and he sees how much money he made off these guys, he's not going to want to make another fight. Why would you do something else when you've got this that's just going to bring in so much money? You know, because if...
I'd watch it again.
Of course, everybody would. That was both fights, while the second fight didn't have the spectacular ending, they were both edge-of-your-seat stuff for the whole time, pretty much. I think the only thing that can happen right now is if Dana pushes Conor to go fight Jose Aldo, the worst thing that can happen to Dana and to Conor is that Jose beats him.
Right.
Because then any third match with Diaz is less thrilling, isn't it?
Yeah, and well, then I think you have to fight Aldo again. And then,
yeah.
And then,
I mean,
and that's, and then hope he wins that, because yeah, I think I'm kind of with you. I'd rather, you know, if you're going to make money, Go for the big dollars.
And they've said that it's going to happen. The next time it happens will be at 155, which Nate was happy to agree to. That's his more natural fighting weight. You know, he's fought at 155 his whole career pretty much. So they'll fight at 155, to me, if I'm Dana, I'm saying, well, let these guys fight at 155 in January. You know what I mean? So we'll set that up for January, and then whoever wins, we'll set up that Aldo fight at the earliest convenience, either on the big July card or sooner if possible. So that's the way I would look at it if I were Dana, but I'm not the one having to pay this dude $3 million to go out there and fight.
What does this do for McGregor's legacy, if anything, in your mind?
For his legacy, I don't know. I mean, honestly, that was there were parts of that performance that were impressive and gutty, there was also a lot of him running away.
Yeah.
And it's not the best look. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to go down as whatever he does in the cage, he's going to go down as a guy who helped take the UFC brand to another level. Kind of like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Like, her loss hurts her legacy long term, but at the end of the day, the UFC wouldn't be where it is without Ronda Rousey. So it's – I don't know if this necessarily saves what was going to happen. But if he'd lost twice, it would have been bad news for his legacy. So I guess in a way it did kind of rebuild him a little bit.
All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. We'll go through some phone calls in the next hour. But Crystal's on Facebook says, now that the kids are back at school, I get to be in the car to listen to you guys again. Welcome back, Crystal. Welcome back to everybody who's – having to take kids to school now since that's all started again.
And Peter says, no Floyd versus Connor. Skip Bayless. This stupid. I mean, he's just a troll. That's all he is. It says, I was really impressed with I forget how he worded it, but it was some ridiculous thing with his two-hand boxing, which is, I don't know what that even means. Impressed with Connor McGregor's two-hand boxing skills. Now think he could hang in with Mayweather. Wouldn't win, wouldn't get embarrassed. I promise you, and I'll bet paycheck to paycheck, Skip, that Mayweather would embarrass Conor McGregor in a straight-up boxing match. There's zero doubt in my mind.
But he's got great two-hand boxing skills, AJ.
Two-hand boxing.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what that is, but it sounds amazing.
Yeah. I'm sure it's great.
All right, well, for those of you who are back in school, I guess that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing for parents.
Yeah.
Kids are back in school.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's also good for the kids. And that's why now that school started back, it's so important to donate your vehicle to HoustonCarsForKids.com because Houston Can Academies, these kids going back to school, this is a great place where they take in kids who've had to drop out of other schools. And a lot of these are just great kids that had bad situations they were in. Well, they go to Houston Can Academies, and Houston Can Academies works around those things. If they have jobs, they work around that. Sometimes they need glasses. They get those for them. And a lot of these kids go on and graduate and do great, great things, and it's all because of Houston Can Academies. And you can help. And all you have to do is donate a vehicle you're not using anymore, whether it's a car or a truck. It can be a motorcycle. It doesn't matter what shape it's in. If it's been sitting in the garage now for a couple of years and you're thinking, maybe I'll fix it up, maybe not, donate it. You get a tax deduction for it, which you're going to love here in a few months when you start filing your taxes. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They will take care of all the paperwork. It's fast. It's easy. A lot of blitzers have done it. You guys have stepped up big time, and everybody's told me the same thing. It's so easy the way they do it. And if you donate today, you're going to get Astros tickets. They're going to send you to a game if you donate your vehicle. All you have to do, give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226 or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.